The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and you doubt not, you have faith and you doubt not. I want to make sure everyone hears that. In fact, I want you to turn to that scripture. Let's turn there. I haven't been having you turn to that one. Get a complete understanding of what Jesus is talking about here. Matthew chapter 21. Beginning with verse 18, it says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' Immediately, the fig tree withered away." Okay, now we have this picture of what is taking place. Jesus just walking along, and Jesus looking at the fig tree, wanting some figs, something to eat. And the fig tree is not bearing fruit. And he speaks to it. Now there's a lot of analogies that we can pull from that. But just in the natural, I believe there's a lot of spiritual things. The church, Israel, a lot of things that we can pull from that scripture right there. Just the fig tree not bearing fruit. And Jesus speaking to it. But in the natural, exactly what happened? This actually happened in the natural. He looked at the fig tree, he cursed the fig tree, and it died, it withered up. And then his disciples wanted to know, what in the world is going on? How can you do such things? How is that possible? And Jesus says to them, if you have faith and you doubt not, you'll not only do what's been done to the fig tree, but you'll say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it'll be done. Right? Amen. It will be done. He's telling us how important this faith is. Our faith is in operating and understanding the spiritual world that is all around us. We live in this natural world. But really things take place in the spirit realm. When we understand our position in Christ and we understand who we are in Christ, we can speak to things. We can speak to the problems and the issues that we have in our life. And we can speak to them by faith and see them removed. Now, I'm not telling you that you can live your life any way you want to live and then speak to it and say, it's all going to be gone and it's all going to be taken care of. That's ridiculous. We all know that. The principle of sowing and reaping is still a part of the spiritual world. When you sow, you're going to reap. And if you've sown bad seed, you're going to reap bad harvest. When you sow corn, if I put a piece of corn in the ground, I expect to go out in my garden and see a corn stalk growing. You do not see a tomato. You don't see a pepper. If you put a corn in the ground, that's what you get. And if you sow bad seed, that's what's going to return back to you. Now, you can stop that bad seed. Yes, there is no doubt about it. There is supernatural power that when you come to Jesus Christ, if you've sown bad seed, that you repent of your sin and you ask God for forgiveness, he can intervene in your situation and that seed can be, he can put herbicide on that thing and stop it. Right? We know that that's possible. But at the same time, we've got to recognize that we've got to stop sowing these bad seed because the spirit realm is working. And when you speak and you do and you say and you act in certain ways, it's going to return back to you. That's the sowing and reaping principle. So that's why I'm trying to encourage you by faith to start living lives that's sowing positive seed into your life and everyone else's life. Speak positive things into other people's lives. Do positive things for other people. Because whatever you do, whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. Spread good. Do right. Be righteous. Walk in holiness. Love the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord in all things. And build up your faith. Because we've been talking about that there are levels of faith. There's little faith. There's no faith. Unbelief. Apistia is the Greek word. Little faith. Or no faith, I'm sorry. Unbelief. No faith. And he said that to many people. Jesus did. You don't have any faith. You can't even come to me with any kind of faith. You just have none. But then he talked to his disciples many times, and he said, it's because of your little faith. You're not able to move it. Oligopistia, epistos, it means little faith. And we all recognize, or I hope what we do, that we're not all on the same level when it comes to faith. There are different levels of faith. But we can grow in faith. We can multiply our faith. We can start out with this little faith, and we can grow up to mountain-moving faith. And I believe today in this time, we need mountain-moving faith just to operate on a daily basis. We need mountain-moving faith to be able to touch the lives of individuals when we're out there in this world, walking on our daily mission to build the kingdom of God. We've got to get a hold of the reality that there is a kingdom of God and we are part of it, and we're supposed to be spreading that thing all over the world. Stop worrying about your little kingdom and start being concentrated and focused on the kingdom of God. And if you'll do that, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, he has promised he'll take care of everything else for you. All these things will be added to you, he said. We've got our focus on our little kingdoms, and it's hard not to sometimes. When you're running in different directions with your children, sports and activities and all kinds of things, when you have all kinds of activities, when you have church, plays, all kinds of different things in your family, the husband's going this way, the wife's going that way, the children are going in different directions, and everybody's trying to keep up with them, it's hard not to just focus on your kingdom. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But I want you to understand, if we can just step back away from our kingdoms for a little while and just look at the reality of what God has called us to walk by faith and build his kingdom. And when we build his kingdom, he has promised to take care of all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So Jesus taught his disciples that they could have great faith. And we've been talking about measuring our faith. And in James chapter 2, it tells us how we can measure our faith. Chapter 2, verse 18. It says, Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead, James goes on to say. So how do we measure our faith? We measure our faith by our works. What are we doing in the kingdom of God? That's going to measure our faith. It's going to show us how much faith we really do have. We can say we have all kinds of faith, but how much faith do we really have? You know, we like to have emotional church, right? I mean, it's good when we get stirred up. God's not opposed to that. We've thought for years in the body of Christ, especially in this area, that emotionalism was not of God. They're wrong. God created you with emotion. When David danced before the Lord, God loved it. That was emotion. There's nothing wrong with us showing some emotion, especially when it comes to the Lord. We can show emotion when we watch ball games. Now, I can tell you this. If your kid is playing a sport and they score, you're going to show some emotion. I haven't seen a parrot that wouldn't show some emotion. Get up and jump and shout. It's maybe on different levels. Some people may get more excited than others, but we're all going to get excited. That's why we need to get excited about serving the Lord. The Lord God, He's the Creator. He's the one that gives us breath. We need to show a little bit of emotion when we come in this place. And I'm not telling you that every one of you have to get up and dance and run and shout. I know some of you are very reserved people. I understand that. That's okay. I understand your personality. But don't let your own feelings get in the way of worshiping God. Give Him glory and honor. I used to be a lot more reserved than I am these days. God said, okay, if you're going to be that way, I'm going to put you in front of people every week. Straighten you up. It hasn't been easy, believe me. And it can still be a struggle to get up here and to do what I really believe God has called me to do. But it's right. And it's fulfilling, and it's what God has called me to. So I'm going to fulfill that. And I want you to get that same kind of fullness in your life. That wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, that you feel like He's moving you on each and every week, each and every day, that you're going up to a different place with the Lord, that you're growing and expanding, that your faith is getting stronger. But it's not going to get stronger unless you do something with it. It's by works. You can come in this place. And I was talking about being emotional. We come in this place, we get emotional. People raise their hands. We have words from the Lord. Hallelujah. But man, if that's all you can do is come in this place and give a word to the Lord, from the Lord to people, and you're not doing anything else for His kingdom, you're missing it. Yes, sir. You are missing the mark. Because there is much to be done for the kingdom of God. And He has called every one of us, every person sitting in here, to be a laborer, to be a servant, and to be a warrior for Him. Some of you have a call in your life to do something specific, and you know it, and you're running from it. Don't let the enemy have victory. Don't let him stop you. Step up. Step up to it. That'll be faith. It'll take faith for you to do that. And for some of you, it'll take great faith to step forward, to move out, to move into that realm that God has called you to. But do it. Today, the Lord says, it's a day of decision. Decide. Decide to do what He has called you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we've talked about measuring our faith. We measure it by our motivation and becoming servants. About compassion, we have to have love for others. And now we're in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Beginning with verse 25, Matthew chapter 6. Talking about seeking the kingdom. Now therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Are you? You know you are. We know that we are much more value to God. We are special in His sight. We are His special creation. Therefore, we've got to put our whole heart and trust in Him. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to His stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of a field, which today is and tomorrow thrown into this oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Will He take care of us? That's one of those places where he says to his disciples, "Oh, you of small faith." You have faith, but that faith is little. It's small. It's reduced. You can have bigger faith, but right now you just have little faith. We have little faith sometimes when it comes to the Lord. How many of us totally rely on the Lord when it comes to clothing? Or do we sometimes rely on plastic, whether we have the money or not? You know, I'm just trying to bring things home to where we are in this life today. We say we're depending on God, but then we live on other means to provide for our needs. And it's not easy, because sometimes, many times, when we get to that point where we're wondering, is God going to come through? Is God going to provide? We're right on the edge. We have to make some decisions. God, is this you? Are you going to take care of our family? Are you going to do it? But that's when it comes to the place where, are we going to have little faith or are we going to have great faith? Are we going to stir our faith? Are we going to stand on the Word of God and recognize what God has said about us? That if we can have faith and doubt not, if we can trust in Him, He will provide for all of our needs. If we can put our trust in our living God. Because He goes on to say, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." He knows exactly what you need. Exactly. Everything that you have need of, God already knows. You can ask and you should ask. He wants to communicate with you. He wants you to ask Him because He wants you to believe and trust in Him. But He already knows. There isn't anything we can say to Him. There isn't anything that we do that He doesn't know. That should shake some of you. You can't do anything in the dark and God not see it. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seeking the kingdom. That's the next thing that we have to focus on when it comes to faith. Seeking the kingdom of God. Seek Him. Seek what He wants. Seek His desire. Seek building up His kingdom. Be available to be used by God wherever you go and whatever you do. When you go out into that workplace and that marketplace every day, look for opportunities for God to use you to minister to someone. There's plenty of them. If you are looking, you will encounter time after time that, you know, you don't have to preach to people. I'm not telling you to preach to them. I'm telling you to be available to meet people's needs. That's what impacts people's lives. Just praying for someone if they need prayer. Praying for them. It's incredible how much of an impact you'll make on somebody's life when someone comes along and they need prayer. Taking the time. I struggle with this. I'm busy. I have lots of things, lots of irons in the fire. Taking the time just to listen to people, to hear what they have to say. And if we'll listen, the opportunity to minister will be there. Seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. Don't seek stuff. In this materialistic world that we live in, it's so difficult to overcome stuff. Stuff has become people's gods. We're more concerned with how many toys we can acquire in life rather than how close we can get to our God. It's stuff. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to get our eyes off our own kingdom, our own stuff, and get our eyes on the kingdom of God. Now, there are regular spiritual disciplines that will help us do this. And it's something that we need to focus on. We need to recognize that it's just part of our Christian life. It's something that we've gotten away from. Much of our spiritual discipline has all been put aside as Christians. We come to church on Sunday. We may say a 5-minute prayer every day. Sometimes we'll read the Bible if it's convenient. This is not really popular, is it? Because it's hitting us all. You know, it hits me as much as it hits you when I start talking about it. Because I'm not as disciplined as I need to be. We want to be. I know every one of us, we want to be more disciplined with in our spiritual life. So we've got to focus on that. We've got to talk about it. As a pastor, I've got to talk about it with you. I've got to emphasize the importance of these spiritual disciplines and how they'll separate us from the world and bring us into and closer to the kingdom of God. It'll set us apart. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 8, David said, "When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, your face, Lord, will I seek." That's what we've got to say to ourselves. That's what we've got to say today. Today, I'm going to seek your face, Lord. I'm going to seek you with all my heart. It's his face that we need to be after. Many times we want his hand. We want to see the hand of God moving in our lives. We want to see the hand of God in this place. We want to see the hand of God touching our lives. The most important thing is to seek his face. Seek his closeness. You know what it's talking about, don't you? Face of God. When my little grandson, especially Owen, gets up on my lap, sometimes he puts his nose right against my nose. He's seeking my face. Not about what I can do for him. It's just being close to me. Recognizing that relationship and how important it is. Seeking the face of God. And that's what God wants us to be face. He wants us to be nose to nose with him. So we feel him. So that we understand his embrace. We understand. We can feel the very breath of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Woo! Oh, man. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want the face of my God in my life every day. So we got to come to him in prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, if you go back a few verses. Or go back to Matthew 6, verse 5. Jesus is talking about prayer, and he's talking about the model of prayer. And he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. And surely I say to you, they have their reward." Now, we misunderstand that in that culture, in that setting, being religious was very important. And looking religious was very important to the Jewish people. So when the leaders, the religious leaders, were in public, they wanted everyone to know how spiritual they were. Or at least they appeared to be. So they would make great prayers on the corners. They'd blow horns. They'd have a procession around them. They'd blow shofars. And they would make a big ceremony out of their prayers on the streets so that people would see them and know how holy that person is. We can, if we're not careful, we can fall into that same kind of religious ceremony in our lives. Just coming to church on Sunday morning to look good. Just saying prayer in the restaurant to look good. Just, you know, being willing to pray. It's not wrong for us to pray in public. I want you to understand that. What's your motivation? That's the whole key to it. We've got to be motivated our desire is to serve the living God. And to do what is right. Not to be seen as some religious, pompous person. So we have to recognize that this prayer thing is extremely important. Jesus is making a point here, and he tells them, he gives them a model for prayer. How important prayer is. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And then he goes on and he tells us how to pray. Now remember, this is not just a prayer that we're supposed to recite. This is a model for prayer. This is the way, this is the content of our prayer when we pray. These are the things that we should be focusing on in our prayer time. But he says, go into your room. This phrase is used twice in Scripture. And it's talking about a storage chamber, a storeroom, an inner chamber, a secret room of some sort. He's saying, go into a place where you can have one-on-one time with me. Someplace that you're not distracted. Someplace where you can just talk to me. Spend some time. You know, Jesus gave us a model for prayer when he was here. He would often go off into the mountains, into the wilderness, all by himself and pray. Sometimes he went off and prayed all night long and came back renewed and refreshed for ministry. Alone time with God is so important. You know, the Muslims have regular prayer times every day. They pray at least 5 times a day. Some of them, it doesn't matter what they're doing, they will stop and go and pray toward Mecca at the time of prayer. That's their ritual. They believe they're fulfilling their religious obligation by doing that. But listen, there are millions of them doing that every day. And millions of Christians are not even having the time to spend 10 or 15 minutes with their God, with the real God. Make no mistake, Allah is not the same God as the God of heaven, Yahweh. They're different. And I know they want to try to tell you, oh, we all serve the same God. We do not serve the same God. Our God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. He came in the flesh and died on the cross for our sins, so that we could be saved. Their God wants to kill everybody on earth. Our God wants to save everybody on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. King of kings and Lord of lords. And he wants to have a relationship with you. Today I just want to encourage you. I know it sounds like that I'm condemning you. I know it may sound like that I'm being harsh. I'm trying to stir all of us to a better understanding of our relationship with the Lord. He wants us to spend time with him. And you're going to build up and you're going to have that kind of mountain-moving faith only when you spend time with the Lord. That's where it comes from. Prayer. Seeking his face. Spending time. Set aside some time every day to be able to talk with your God. He wants to talk to you, and he wants you to listen to him. And he wants to hear your heart. It's okay for you to come in when you've had a tough day and say, oh God, this is terrible, this is tough. You're not telling him anything he doesn't already know. He knows exactly what you went through. But he doesn't mind hearing it from you. But he wants to refresh you. He wants to renew you. He wants to take you out of that place and bring you into a new anointing and a new refreshing every day. That's what prayer will do for you. I don't know about you, but when I'm in my prayer time and I've been having a tough time, one of the things that I do is I pray in the Spirit. Man, when I pray in the Spirit and I come out of there, there is just something about praying in the Spirit that just stirs you up, encourages you. Because it's praying directly to God. When I've had a tough time and I just pour my heart out to the Lord. And I say, God, I need you. I need your presence. I need you to show up for me right now. He does. He stirs inside of me. It encourages me. It causes me to be able to move out of that situation, out of that circumstance that I was in. And regardless of whether the circumstance changes or not, my attitude changes because of my relationship with the Lord. If we're going to have faith to move mountains, we've got to get into the presence of God.
Yes.
All of us. I want to stir your faith. I want you to recognize that God wants you to have great faith. Because this world needs it. It needs the body of Christ to rise up with great faith. To move in the areas of miraculous. Because that's confirmation of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. When God speaks to you, listen. Do your best to be faithful to Him. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned about the Chester building and how that was kind of a tough time for us and taking that ministry on. And we're really excited about the things that God is doing through that ministry. But when we first started to do it, it was all by faith. When we were taking on a responsibility that we didn't have the money for. But I really felt that God was speaking to me to do it. So we moved in that direction and we're doing it. Now I got to tell you something. We would not have been able to move in that direction, even if I wanted to, had there not been a core group of people, elders, deacons, a group of you that said, yeah, Pastor, we know this doesn't look right, but we believe in you, for one thing, and we believe that God is speaking. So we did it. We all moved in that direction together. And it's exciting right now to see what's taking place. How, you know, the Upward program is flourishing. All these things that are taking place, the food pantry, the thrift store. Man, it's exciting to see what's happening. The community is using this facility. But it was all by faith in the beginning. I want you to understand. And the reason I'm saying this to you is it's many times when God tells you to do something, it doesn't look like it's something you should do. In the natural. In the natural, it did not look like that's what we should be doing. But God was very clear to me. This is what He wanted to do. And each time I took a step of faith, I said, okay, God, you have to open the door. He opened the door. You have to open the door. Okay, He opened the door. The next step, you have to open the door, and He opened the door. And we just kept moving by faith, moving forward. That's what moving by faith is. You don't run out ahead of God. You got to be careful that you don't run out ahead of your God. If He tells you to do something, wait on Him. Wait on Him to open the door. Many times people have gotten a word from the Lord that you're supposed to do this ministry or do that ministry. And instead of waiting for God to bring it to fruition, they start out, they go out, and they try to make it happen themselves. And you'll fall flat on your face. Wait on God. He'll speak to you, but let Him open the doors. He wants to open doors for us, every one of us. And when He opens those doors, hallelujah, there isn't a demon, there isn't a person, there isn't a judge, there isn't a president, there isn't anybody in a high office that can stop it when God's in it. Amen. Stand with me. We wrap up. I'm just going to ask everybody to bow your head. And if you're in here and you feel like God has called, he's spoken to you. He said He wants you to do something. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand so we can acknowledge that. I see that one. Okay. Several. Okay. Great. Thank you. Praise God. It's a moment of decision and direction. Remember, God is moving you forward. You can't move yourself forward. You've got to wait on Him. and He will cause it to happen. He will bring it to pass, the Scripture says. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, today we lift You up. I thank You, Father, that You are touching these hands that went up. Father, their desire is to accomplish Your will. They feel a call. They feel You speaking to them, stirring their spirit. And today, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You that Your anointing for that calling has been complete. They're going to hear from You. They're going to recognize exactly what needs to happen. They're going to wait for You to move. Father God, You will bring it to pass. We give You glory, Father, for You are such an awesome and mighty God. And today, there is victory in Jesus Christ. Father, as we go from this place, we thank You that we have opportunity to minister to others, to speak into other people's lives. Open doors for that, Lord. We want to expand Your kingdom. We want Your kingdom to grow, and we want people to see there is goodness and mercy and truth from the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a wonderful day.